not very long ago, I was telling Lyndall that this year, this summer, we have 5 youth groups that we'll be taking care of, the most we've ever had. And he said, what's the deal? The older you get, the more work you have, they think you can do. I said, well, I don't know about that, but it is a blessing to be able to be still be used of God even when you're old. I was thinking about attitudes, and you know, I feel like we who are, like Verlene and me, who are the seasoned missionaries and pastors' wives, have a lot that we can teach younger women. Sometimes I think that you've heard me so many years and so many times, what could I offer possibly that you could use and to help you? But I was thinking about a lot about what John said about attitude. A few years back, Dale was sharing in a family conference in León, Mexico, and one of his the first day of the of his message, he spoke on attitude, which is a huge part of us in our ministry. And of you as Christians, as mothers and fathers, what you do, how you react, has such a big place, such a big part in our service to the Lord. And I was thinking about some of you remember Dale's dear stepmother, Mary Kay, who passed away. What a blessing she has been to us. She was to us and our family. You never saw her for what. She didn't have a huge smile on her face. And I remember what she told me was she thinks was the key to her happiness and her joy in her walk. When she was a very little girl, she was an only child. Her father was not a Christian, and he was a very ungodly man, but her mother was a true saint. She was wonderful and taught her very early to love the Lord and to study his word. And she said when she was a very little girl, her mother said one morning, Mary Kay, when you get up in the morning, you have a choice. You can either be happy or you can be sad.
Right.
It's all right here.
Right.
And you know, that has stuck with me, and that has helped me so much in sharing with others. Really, that is really the truth. When we wake up in the morning, folks, we have a choice.
Right.
I don't care what kind of a day you think you're going to have. You can make that day a joyful day if you decide that you will have a good day, that you're going to be happy no matter what, instead of sad. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, maybe it would be good to look at some of the Old Testament women. Too many in the Bible, so I'm just going to stick to the Old Testament today. About the Old Testament women and some of their and how their attitude was. And so I thought about Rebecca in Genesis 24. I'm not going to have time to read all these, but you can read it later. Rebecca, you remember, was the one who Abraham, when he was getting old, he wanted a wife for his son Isaac. So he sent his oldest servant to his country. Now, see, I don't want you to take a wife from the Canaanites, but you go to my country and you find a wife for Isaac. Of course, we love the song that we sing about the wedding day. But and the old servant obeyed his master, and he went, and he said, now he prayed, said, God, the first woman that comes out to feed her flock, and the first one that offers to give me a drink, but also offers to feed my cows, that's the one that I will know that you have for me. And that's exactly what happened. We know the story. And you know, I was thinking about her. What could we say about her? Well, we know she was a beautiful woman, which is a good thing, right? She was a virgin. But then she was kind. She was eager to help, wasn't she? She didn't say, well, yeah, I guess I'll, you know, if you think I should, I'll give some water to your camels too. She was very willing. She was very friendly to this man who was sitting there, you know, a stranger. And she was hospitable. I think those are very important points. Okay, and then the next one I want to share about was Moses' mother, Jochebed. And this is found in Exodus, the second chapter. You remember the story about the king who, the Pharaoh was worried because his slave, the wives of his slaves were having so many babies. The Hebrews were multiplying and soon he were going to take over the land. So he proclaimed that they would kill all the male babies. Well, Jochebed had little Moses, and she kept him hidden for 3 months, the word says, 3 months. But after he got kind of feisty and kind of lively and probably began to cry and all, then she got concerned. And she made a little basket. She put pitch or tar, whatever they called it then, really, and for it wouldn't leak. And she placed that baby in that basket, and she put him in the river. And she, you know, had her little, the older sister to watch him. But, you know, I thought about I was talking to Dale in the car a while ago. You know, when you really think about it, Jochebed was quite had an unselfish love for her child because she really didn't know, aside from God later, and we know it's in his plan, but she really didn't know when she put that baby in the river who was going to take her baby. So what an unselfish love she had for that child, which is such a blessing to me. Her attitude was just, hey, I don't know who will raise my baby, but it's going to be death if I don't do something. So she had an unselfish, a great unselfish love for her child. And she didn't give up. She was unselfish. She loved her baby. She was concerned for her baby. And we know how the story went that the Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, and Miriam said, would you like me to find a woman to take care of this baby? And of course we know that God allowed her to take him home to his own mother, which was a blessing. And then we have in Judges, the fourth chapter, we learn about Deborah, who was a judge, a prophetess. The Bible calls her a prophetess and a judge. And you know, she was quite a woman. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you that, you know, we ought to be, you know, like grow up, we should be judges at all. But I do know that God put her in that place. He put her in that position as a prophetess and judge. But she had some problems because she knew there was an enemy out there that was they were going to have to fight. So she calls for Barak and sends him, says, I want you to go and take so many thousands from this tribe and so many thousands from that tribe, and you go out and fight the battle. And Barak said, the only way I want to go is if you'll go with me. Now, she could have said, man, I'm the judge here. I've got so much work to do. I'm the prophetess. I mean, you know, me go out to battle with you? No, she didn't. She knew that he needed her. So she put all her feelings aside, and she was very, very strong. She was very dedicated to her people, and she went knowing that they were going to win the battle. And so she was a righteous judge, I feel like. She was a good judge, but she was not afraid. She was willing to do whatever it took to win the battle. And then, after she got through, she gave God all the glory. She sang his praises. Amen. And praised him, praised his name for delivering them, her from that battle. And then we have the story of Ruth. Now, Ruth was, this is one of my favorite stories. Ruth was a Moabitess. And you remember the story that Elimelech, this Hebrew man, and his wife Naomi went to the land of Moab because they were getting hungry. They felt like they needed to go where there was some food, so they went to Moab. Well, Elimelech dies. They have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who eventually die too, but they had married two Moabitess women. One was Ruth and one was Orpah. I always said Orpah, but it's spelled Orpah. So, and they were, I think, very good daughters-in-law to Naomi. And but what happened was Naomi was alone. Her husband had died, and she was getting older. She wanted to go back to her home because she had heard that God was feeding the Israelites now. So she wanted to go back home. So she told the girls, I'm going back home. And so the girls decided to go with her. But after they'd started on their journey, Naomi turned to them and said, "You know what? You're very young, and you have your life ahead of you. You can stay here, find husbands, and have a good life. You don't have to go back with me." And Orpah decided that she would. She would stay in her land. But Ruth, what a wonderful person she was. She said, "Nope, I'm going to stay with you, Naomi." And we have that wonderful verse where she says, "Where you go, I will go. And where you'll be buried, I'll be buried. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." What a wonderful, wonderful, and selfish love she had for her mother-in-law. She loved her, I think, as dearly as a person could love their mother. And and then we know how dedicated she was, because she took care of Naomi. She went out in the field and worked. Now, she was a worker. That was not an easy thing for her to do, to go out in the fields of Boaz and glean and walk behind the threshers as they were threshing the wheat and pick up those handful of purpose that were left behind. But she was so dedicated and so devoted to Naomi that Boaz saw this, and later we know that he eventually married Ruth, and we know she was a great person because she became the great-grandmother, I believe, of King David, and she was in the line, of our Lord. But she was in submission to Naomi, which was a wonderful attitude as a daughter-in-law. She didn't hesitate to work. She was very chaste, and she was, I feel like, just a wonderful example of the right kind of an attitude for us to have. And then we have the story of Hannah. You know, Hannah was childless. She had a husband. In fact, her husband had two wives. She was only one of the two wives. And the other wife had children. Oh, she used to boast and brag to Hannah all the time that she had children. And, you know, in those days, if you weren't able to have a child, it was just a curse almost on you. Well, Hannah was so upset and so wanted a child that she went to the temple and she began to pray and beseech God for a child. And you remember the story that And God, if you would just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And we know that God responded.
Amen.
And gave her Samuel. And how faithful she was, because after she weaned Samuel, she took him to the temple and presented him to God. And God was wonderful and gracious because he gave her more children. But you know, Hannah was... she praised God for the child. And she we have a story of how she... gave praises to God for that child and for what he had done for her. She was faithful to, she kept her word, which was something this day and age when words are not kept very much. And then we have the story of Esther. Now, Esther was also a favorite of mine. She she was a very special young lady. In Esther 2:5, you find the story of her. She was raised by her uncle, Mordecai. And she was a beautiful girl. In fact, whenever the king decided he needed another queen because his queen had really embarrassed him in front of his court, and he was looking for beautiful young ladies where he could choose a queen, she was. She went and became. She got in line, in other words, to be to see if she was going to make the queen. And she was so wonderful, not just beautiful, but she must have had a wonderful, wonderful personality. Because even the man who kept the women was special. He was especially drawn to her because she was a very special lady. And we know that because of her beauty and her sweet spirit, that God, that the king did choose her to be his queen. And you know, she had a real heart for God, and she had a real heart for her people. And when she saw that Haman was really out to have all her people killed, she took her life in her hands.
Amen.
And went before the king. Even though he had not asked for her. And you know, in those days, you didn't dare go. A queen didn't go to a king's presence unless he had asked for her. She took it on herself to go and to make petition for her people. And it's a beautiful story if you haven't read it.
Amen.
And how God did deliver her people through her. And so she was a very gracious, beautiful woman. But she was kind. She was kind to everyone that she came in contact with. She was very devoted to her uncle, but more than that, she loved her people. She had a great love for her people. And then I have one more, and that's the widow from Zarephath. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And Elijah went to visit Zarephath, and there was a widow there that he saw picking up sticks. So he went up to her, and he said, "Would you please give me a drink of water?" And so she went to start to give him a drink of water. He said, "And more than that, would you get me a piece of bread, too?" And she said, "You know, I'm gathering these sticks because I have a handful of meal left, and I've got a little bit of oil, and all I was going to do was just make a little cake for me and my son, and then we're just going to lie down and die because there's no more food." There was a big famine in the land. And Elijah said, "That's fine, but when you make the cake, give me a piece first." And she did. She did obey. She was unselfish. She did what he asked her to do. And she was submissive to him. And we know the story that he told her. He said, "You know, from that henceforth, you'll never need any more meal and any more oil until after the famine is over." And that's exactly what happened. She was faithful. She was submissive. And she was obedient. You know, I think it was Karen the other night that read a verse that's been one of my favorites for many years, and that's Colossians 3.23. We'll turn that to that. I don't want to read it wrong. Colossians 3.23. This has been a verse that's been such a blessing to me in our ministry. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." You know, with the type of work that Dale and I do, we're with our biggest ministry right now in Mexico, our only ministry in Mexico, aside from preaching and sharing and encouraging the saints there, is the ministry with the young people that come down every year. This will be our 21st year to have young people come down and... what a blessing that has been. And I know young people can worry you to death. They can, you know, it's hard to have a lot of patience. But you know what? We've seen such a tremendous change. We've seen such a wonderful way that God has used, in our small way, used us to encourage these young people. And we have between 40 and 45 young people that are full-time from those young people that came down to make their decisions to serve him. Some are missionaries, some are missionary wives, some are youth directors, some are pastors, pastors' wives, and that has been such a blessing to us. But you know, my job is the kitchen. You know, I'm a kitchen person. It's my favorite room. And I do the cooking for the most part. And you say, "Well, how in the world can you have any kind of influence? How can you let your attitude show in the kitchen?" Well, you know, you'd be surprised, because when those kids, and they all have their little work groups, they have their work, their teams. When they come in there, I have an opportunity that probably Dale and love, even some of the young, the youth directors may not have, and that is to ask one of the girls, "Hey, what's your plan? What's your plans for the future? You know, how do you feel like, what do you want to do with your life?" And the guys, the same thing. And they can talk to me and I can talk to them. We're just peeling potatoes or carrots or, you know, whatever we're doing. And it's just a very normal, natural setting. And so they just open up and share, you know, their hearts and tell us, you know, what their plans are, what they want to do. And I have a time that I can encourage them and share with some of the things that we've experienced. And so God has used that, I think. And And the same way with Dale. He's on work projects with the kids, and he's also gets to help them in their devotion time. And one thing that's really impressed me is they really work on, these youth directors and leaders really work on kids' attitudes. And, you know, I think that's so important. But, you know, if we don't show to those kids that we do things heartily, and, you know, things, it's a joy for us to serve, how are they going to learn Amen. How to serve? And this past summer we had a little pieces of paper that were stapled to the walls about attitude. And we didn't do it. And the youth directors did. And it was wonderful. But they were so concerned about the kids' attitudes. And, you know, they learn to serve. We have some young people that come in, and just as soon as they get through eating, they're up going around. Are you through? Can I take your plate? Can I take your plate? I mean, what young people nowadays do that? You know, not many, do they? But they learn to serve. And they serve on these teams, never complaining, never, you know, shirking their duty. So it's important that we show our attitude to these young people. One thing is, one example I'll give you. This past summer we had a group that one girl was, she was a little bit troubling to me. She had a lot of problems, I'm sure, at home she must have had. And she was always down, always had a down attitude. And to the point where the girls would come in and said, "Now, Mrs. West, so-and-so won't be eating at the meals today. Could we save her a plate back? She's not, you know, this, that, and other, whatever." Well, we have a rule that, you know, we serve meals at 8 o'clock, we serve lunch, so-and-so, and we're not a restaurant. You come to eat, you know, and Amen. I can't be making plates all day for these kids that for some reason or other can't show. And so, but I did. I thought, well, maybe she's ill. Well, that went on several days, you know. And finally, we just said, you know, if you come, you know, you need to come here at meals. If you don't feel well, then you come down and be with us, then you go back and lay down or whatever. Well, we went on a picnic on the way to Guanajuato. We stopped at this place that was a beautiful natural park, a gorgeous place. And I saw her sitting there by herself and looking like she was down. So I went over to her and I said, "What's the trouble, honey?" She said, "Oh, this happened and that happened and whatever. And, you know, I just kind of had it." And I told her the story about Mary Kay's, Mama Kay's mother. I said, "You know what, honey? I've learned that when you get up in the morning, you can decide what kind of a day you're going to have."
Right.
I said, "You can decide. You can choose. Is this going to be a good day or is this going to be a bad day? Am I going to be happy or am I going to be sad?" And I said, "You know what, honey?" And I just touched her forehead. I said, "It's all right here. Your attitude is what's going to change your life." And I just walked away, and she kind of looked at me kind of funny. But I just trust that can be our theme, that we choose what kind of day we're going to have. That doesn't mean that we think every day is going to be wonderful. I know better than that. I mean, I'm a mother of how many kids? I know better than that. But how are we going to react? What is our attitude going to be? It has to be, "Lord, this is the day that you've made. Let me rejoice and
Amen.
Be glad in it."
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Nellie.
Music this morning, so you bear with me. Life is easy when you're up on a mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, don't lose faith, for you are never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God in the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. We talk of faith when we're up on a mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. But in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God in the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night.
Amen. Amen.